I'm Alan Hardy.
Hi, this is Matty Cash.
Hi, I'm Darren Fletcher.
Hi, I'm Stuart Pearce, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Welcome to the home of the oldest professional football club in the country.
The expectation of the fans now is to be talking about promotion.
As a team, as a squad of players, we've come a long way.
Goals from Jason Cummings and from Kieran Dowell in that match.
The City fans got that special buzz about it.
Obviously, it's such a big club and the fan base is massive.
This is URN Sport.
Hello and welcome to Over the Trent here on University Radio Nottingham, your podcast covering all things Notts County and Nottingham Forest. My name's Joe Tanner. I'm joined in the studio today by Danny Estrich, a first appearance on this podcast for him, and Jeremy Dunn as well. And we've got so much to get through on this episode as the Notts County season came to an end tragically last Friday with a 4-1 defeat in the second leg of the playoff semi-final in Skybet League 2. A 4-1 defeat for them. We'll be bringing you our words with Kevin Nolan and Michael O'Connor after the game.
Then they go and score, make a 3-1, and he's offside. So what chance have you got, you know? But we'll still be in League 2 next year, but I'm sure the officials will still be refereeing in this league or league above.
And we'll also be covering the news that just broke in the last 24 hours, which is that the Notts County women's team is to be reinstated at Meadow Lane after 13 months on the sidelines.
When the club folded last year, it was very difficult for everybody involved. I'd personally had 3 years working with a women's team before leaving the club shortly before the ladies, sort of folded, if you like.
And we'll be taking an in-depth look at the ingoings and outgoings at Notts County with the men's team as well. Now, firstly, it's a trip back down memory lane, an unfortunate one for so many Notts County supporters, a playoff campaign that promised so much, but unfortunately Kevin Nolan's boys just came up short in the second semi-final leg, 4-1 against Coventry City, arguably who were the better side on the night despite some abject refereeing decisions. Danny, you were down there. The frustration was felt by all over those refereeing decisions, which not only were present in the second leg but also in the first leg with that dubious penalty decision as well. You know, just put into perspective how you were feeling at the time and how Notts fans were feeling at the time.
Well, that first leg decision, I mean, to go back to that one, I mean, it was an absolute disaster decision, to be honest. It clearly got the ball, but I think County thought they would have some luck going into the second leg. You know, you think if a decision goes against you, you might get favourable decisions, or you just don't think your luck can do that to you. And then in the second leg, I think firstly, we don't want to just say it's down to the referee decision only, the reason why County got knocked out. Because, especially in the first half, Coventry were pretty much all over County. They were just playing fantastic football. We weren't getting near it. When County got the ball, like, 3-4 passes, and they lose it. And then Coventry were kind of knocking it around. So, from that performance, Coventry probably deserves to go through. But when you say about the mood of the fans, and the bit that was so difficult about it was when George Grant got the goal back right before half-time, which is a perfect time to score. Everyone knows the phrase, you know, get a goal before half-time, change the half-time team talk. George Grant got that goal. Everyone was so buoyant at half-time. And then County came out, all guns blazing in the second half. Unbelievable stuff. Playing football that we weren't playing, that they weren't playing in the first half. And then Fort got that goal, headed it in. It was bedlam in the stands. I mean, seriously, no one saw the flag. Usually I'm the first to check whether there's a flag, but in that moment I was gone, and I couldn't believe it. And that would have been 2-2. That would have changed everything, and then knocks the wind out of the sails of County, and Coventry go and just finish it off, really.
Yeah, quite comparable, I think, to England in the 2010 World Cup when Frank Lampard got that goal that crossed the line. Jonathan Fort got that header, which clearly was a goal and should have stood. You know, both of those scores, 2-1 at the time, would have been 2-2. At that point, Jeremy, you were expecting the pendulum to swing in Notts' direction, but, you know, it wasn't to be.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the first to make that comparison, Joe. I have heard that bounced around the office a few times. Oh, where to start with that match? I mean, yeah, I think probably starting with the most contentious decision of that evening, which was certainly the was it offside, was it not offside for the fourth goal? It is onside. He's blatantly onside. The issue is that the linesman didn't have a clear view. He admitted after the game he didn't have a clear view, but he went with his professional assumption that, considering, like Danny and I were talking beforehand, he sees Fort making the run. He judges from Fort's momentum that he's going to be offside by the time the ball makes it to him. It's an understandable decision from the angle angle he's looking at it. And, you know, whilst he got lots of criticism, we should bear in mind that the cameras were on the side where there isn't a defender in the way of the official. That must first be pointed out. Second is that whilst Fort's behind him, Fort does stop his run, checks it, and then moves to make the header, which was, you know, a brilliant striker's instinct from him, and he does it extremely well. You know, what ifs could be thrown around, lost to what would have happened afterwards. I think County could have turned that around, but honestly, Coventry over this leg, they, especially at Meadow Lane, they were a completely different animal to they were in the first leg. First leg, it looked like they burnt themselves out very early in the first half when they were at home. You know, gave County away back into the match. Looked potentially a bit in the second half like they could do that. But the moment County opened up, I'm sorry, County did have to come forward at one point. But the last two goals, the defending for that was from County was absolutely chronic. It was abysmal. They opened themselves up completely down the middle. Effectively, Coventry just were able to walk through and get that third goal. And the fourth goal, it was just poor man marking, I think, that led to it. Coventry were able to slip through County's defence, score it, and, you know, full credit to Kevin Nolan. They have been able to put up some great performances throughout the year, but we have been saying, I think, on this podcast, there just sort of comes every, you know, 2 months or so, there's one performance which is just, for County fans, it's almost head in hands, almost just how much it falls apart. And I think it felt very much like that, especially I was watching it in the pub with a couple of friends. There were a lot of County fans that were there, and by the when the third goal went in, everyone went, that's it, that's the game, we're not going to pull our way back. When the fourth goal went in, it was, you know, people were heading for the door.
You're listening to Over the Trent, bringing you discussion, interviews and updates on everything Notts County and Nottingham Forest.
This is your home of local football.
This is URN.
Almost chalk and cheese, I would say, as well, in terms of the two teams' playing styles, because you've got Coventry, who like to play the ball on the floor. Yes, they're aggressive. Yes, they're very fit going forward. And I think the key with them is they've got McNulty in that focal point up front. 23 goals in 42 matches for Coventry since he joined in 2017. I mean, that's no mean feat at all, is it? Danny, to what extent do you think that victory was due to Coventry's class and the kind of irresistible force meeting the unmovable object in terms of Notts being very much up and at them, you know, Sam Allardyce-esque tactics, whereas Coventry were very much more playing the ball on the floor, attacking, counter-attacking in a sort of passing style?
Especially the first half, it looked like a sort of FA Cup tie where one team is like the league above the other team. I mean, at times it did look like that when Coventry were just knocking the ball around. And you mentioned Mark McNulty. So I was watching that game. I didn't know his scoring record. You know, I haven't been following Coventry, but just from that game, you can tell that he's different class. Just in that league, he's too good for League Two, basically. He was just gliding past players, passing the ball out. For Coventry's second goal, it's pretty clear that the way they pass it wide, and then it's a pullback towards McNulty, and he just like slots it in. It shows their ability, able to do that. But I think the scoreline does definitely flatters Coventry, because it's dangerous to say, oh, 4-1, counter thrashed, all that kind of stuff. I just think that's not really the narrative of the game, because for that period in the second half, pretty much the period between George Grant's goal and their third goal, if I was to have said who's going to score next, I would have said County. It looked like there was going to be that equaliser. And that was what was so hard about that third goal being conceded. And as Jeremy was saying, how easily it was conceded, just opening up. Like, and I think when that third goal went in, that was because it was a case of if County get the next goal, then you can see them actually going on. It was unbelievable that the way they came out, Dan Jones bombing down the left, firing in crosses, actually connecting passes. But yeah, I think the fact that it was 4-1, the last goal being right at the end as well, when especially in a knockout situation, you've just got to go and attack. So it's not a league game, it's not about goal difference, it's about pushing everything forward to try and get to that final. So while it was a 4-1 scoreline, I think County still had something about them in that second half, but they just couldn't get over the line.
Do you think their heads dropped after Fort's goal was ruled out for offside?
I think that's certainly had an impact, definitely. I think it was kind of almost a thought. I mean, it might be completely different from what it was like in the say, I'm sure Danny can say, but like from where I was, you know, amongst County fans outside of it, watching it in the pub, it was very much along the lines of, well, what more did County have to do to get a goal? Because it looked like suddenly that second half, they came out all guns blazing. They really were giving it, in all fairness to Coventry, really pushing them, much like they did in the first leg. It was very much a case of start the second leg, right, you know, not going to allow Coventry any bit of momentum here. We're going to go at them straight off, really pressing them. The moment that goal doesn't go in, it's almost if County was sort of caught sort of
from what we could see, kind of more along the lines of, well, hang on, why isn't that in? It's perfectly fine, you know, almost a bit of confusion, which Coventry did seem to seize on, almost give themselves a bit of a breather and try and recover a little bit. I think really the heads dropped, Joe, after the third goal. I don't think they dropped at that point. I think the third goal was certainly a moment where the momentum, like you said, you know, you talked about the momentum shifting potentially back in County's favour. I think at that point the momentum was basically locked up quite comfortably by Coventry at that point. So it was, I think the second goal could have been the point where it could have tipped it and County could have gone on and maybe even grabbed a third one, and then, you know, who knows what it would have been like with the, I think it was a sellout crowd as well at Meadow Lane, which has been brilliant, you know, to hear all of them behind the County fans. I don't know, I think the third goal more is the point where I think it was just at that point the heads dropped.
I just want to say about that fourth decision, for anyone who hasn't seen it, firstly, it was kind of like a ball headed back in towards penalty area, and Fort was level with the defender when the ball was played, so he was slightly ahead of him when he headed it into the back of the net. I mean, I feel like the way we're talking about it, it seems like it was a really, really easy decision. He was level, and it was I mean, if he was literally 20 centimetres further forward, it would have been offside. But you know, with the TV, when you pause it, it just, you can just see that it's onside. But it was a difficult one, and I do think that at that moment it was tough, but I think County was still, the momentum was still with the fans. Just a word on the fans, it was an unbelievable turnout. It was an all ticket game. All the fans behind the Kop had black and white t-shirts on, like making stripes in the crowd. The atmosphere was brilliant. And what was weird, which I've never seen before, was the whole opposite stand was Coventry fans. Because usually,
because when
you have an away, they were saying beforehand, oh, they've got a whole stand, and I assume that meant behind the goal. Because you see that with away teams getting a whole stand behind the goal. But the whole other side of the pitch, the whole Jimmy Cyril stand was filled with Coventry fans from end to end, which was pretty an amazing sight just to see that. And I think that definitely helped them when they scored their goals. That whole end going up and celebrating, it's tough to see, because like, it's almost like the County fans just watching that whole stage of Coventry fans. It's amazing to me.
Well, also what was interesting from watching from a TV perspective, because obviously the cameras were opposite that, so you could only really see the Coventry fans, even though you were at County's home ground. It made very little sense for us when we were watching it. But yeah, I'm just echoing what Danny said. To be fair, I mean, we have said that probably with the benefit of looking back on it in hindsight, and also from where I was watching it, you know, you could see the difference in terms of, you know, where Fort was. For the official, bearing in mind he's on the other side of that with a defender in the way, it would have been a very tough call for them, and I'm sure they did the best they could, and they you know, made the right call what was for them at the time. But it's just, you know, looking back at it from different angles, it's got a lot of criticism, but it has to be brought into mind, you know, in that split second, from what they had, they probably made the best call they could. It's just unfortunate for us as County fans that it went the wrong way for us.
Interestingly, you pick up on the atmosphere there, Danny. What do you think the kind of consensus is now among Notts County supporters? Of course, initial disappointment that they weren't able to reach that coveted Wembley final after, you know, performing so well in the first leg and just coming up short in the second. But ultimately, it seemed on Twitter anyway, at least, that Notts fans are still very grateful for Alan Hardy and Kevin Nolan, the season that they've had, which ultimately punched way above any kind of expectations that they had at the start of the season.
Yeah, well, Kevin Nolan said before the game that if you told anyone on the stands that we'd been the playoffs, they wouldn't have believed you. And that is important perspective to have, because obviously with Notts County being near the bottom just a year ago and the transformation at the club that Alan Hardy and Kevin Nolan have brought in, I think the County fans realised that this is an amazing result to be in the playoff semi-final. And at the full-time whistle, sometimes having been to matches where teams feel like they deserve to win or where there's real anger, fans will just storm out, or fans will leave with 5-10 minutes to go, angry, frustrated. Whereas fans were staying to the end and they were appreciating the County players at the end, Kevin Nolan, the manager as well. And when the players were doing the last home game of the season, there was appreciation all round from the fans. There wasn't any real anger. It was disappointing because, you know, you got to the semi-final, you think, well, one more step to Wembley. But there was still massive appreciation from all the fans at the end. And I think realising, yeah, we got to the semi-final, and next season, you know, let's push on. Let's try to do this again.
Kevin Nolan and Michael O'Connor were interviewed post-match. They touched on what we were just talking about, really, the fantastic atmosphere down at Meadow Lane, despite the disappointing 4-1 defeat against Coventry City, and the fantastic support that's been present all season long.
From both sides of the Trent, we've got you covered with all the press conferences.
Really not the history of this club.
Today, it was always going to be a tough game, no matter what.
Interviews.
We're joined here in the studio by Matty Cash.
Darren, your thoughts on the draw?
It's a nice relief for everybody away from the promotion race.
What we've brought to the club is a real unity amongst the players. They feel they're invincible.
An analysis.
Playing him alongside Mancien, it's not really working at the moment.
It was a good way to get ready for the playoffs.
It was really dubbed as a must-win for Notts County.
This is your home of local football. This is URN.
Any of us wanted to end it. How are you feeling after that?
Gutted. And feel aggrieved because three of the goals, well, three massive decisions what they've made. The referees over the last two games have cost us, really. We had momentum, fourth scores, he's on side by a yard. Don't know how he's put us a flag up. But he has, and there's not much more you can say, but they've cost us again. Cost us last Saturday, cost us again tonight, and it's upsetting. And they've cost us a chance to get to Wembley.
Because if you're going to be beaten, you want to be beaten because the team's better than you, rather than beaten because of inadequacies when it comes to officiating, which is something that you've brought to our attention all season long, and we've seen all season long.
Exactly, and I think that's the biggest thing was... Listen, Coventry come here and played well. You can't take that away from them. But we more than matched them. And we had them on the ropes in the second half. And we get that goal. We've got half an hour left. And we're in. Now, if they don't give that penalty next week, we're still 1-0 up. So it's just all ifs and buts. But they can't get things like that wrong. This is why I've been crying out about professional referees. The linesmen weren't keeping up. They've just dropped two clangers. And one after another. Because even if... he gives that one offside and they don't get the third goal, you know, we've still got momentum going our way, but they haven't. They've got it completely wrong again after giving a completely wrong one for us. So just lady luck wasn't on our side, and I said you need it, but it's not because of my lads or because of Coventry, it's because of an official.
Makes it a hard game to love, doesn't it, on nights like this?
I still love the game, mate. I'll never lose that. I think the love for officials is, makes me contemplate that, I think, and think about that. But look, it's to go out like we have over the two legs, it's really disappointing, because it's not been of our own doing. We played really well over there. We played well for a spell in the second half, but we had to change something because we were 3-1 down. You know, we just didn't get out the traps, and they come out the traps and hit us hard today. But you know what we're like here, and everyone knows what we're like here. So once we built that momentum, once we would have got it to 2-2, it would have been game on, and I feel that we would have finished the stronger because we had them on the ropes, but the referee swung it back to their way.
How frustrated were you with your team's performance in that first half?
Yeah, I just thought that, you know, they didn't handle the occasion. I think, you know, a lot of it got to them, and you know, Coventry scored two good goals, but sloppy from us. I'm gutted, because even though we kept in there, we got one back, we scrapped, we done what this team's all about, character and everything, and we got back into it just before half time, so we were able to get them in, give them a few pointers. And I thought the first 15-20 minutes we were fantastic. You know, the Coventry couldn't get out of their half. You could see we had them right on the ropes. We were putting good balls in the box, we were getting crosses, we were getting DJ down the wing, Toots on the other. Oh, he was fantastic when he came on. And then we got a perfectly good goal to scratch it off, and then they get one.
Exhausting.
If you don't laugh, you're going to cry, and it won't be because I'm sad, it'll be because I'm angry.
It was such an occasion here this evening. It's a new record attendance for Meadow Lane this century in front of so many fans. Do you think you've done enough this season, won enough over, and they're going to come back next season?
Well, that's what we're hoping. You know, I hope that they see tonight that, you know, what we're doing here and what we're working towards. The most disappointing thing is that it's been taken away, not by the lads, but by officials and absolutely gutted about that. But back to the drawing board and then start planning our attack for next season.
I'm Les Brad and I'm Notts County's all-time high goal scorer and you're listening to Over the Trent.
Tonight, 2-1, Ford scores a goal, Jonathan Ford, onside, don't give it. 2-8, we go and win the game, simple as. There we go. And then they go and score, make a 3-1, and he's offside. So what chance have you got, you know? But we'll still be in League 2 next year, but I'm sure the officials will still be refereeing in this league or league above. But nothing you can do about it. I thought the lads over the season have been different class from where we were last year to where we are now. So it stands a good stead next year to push on even more and try and get that automatic fish.
How exhausting is the standard lack of quality of officials? Because it tires me out having to watch it every week, but for somebody like yourself who's having to be on the pitch with them, it's excruciating.
Listen, it's hard to be an official, you know. They're going to get some wrong. It's human error. But if you get three wrong over two games in a playoff, it's not good enough. Simple, it's not good enough. But, you know, we'll dust ourselves down, we'll go again. There's not much more to say, it's just the lads have absolutely got it.
Yeah, talk to me about what it's like in that changing room right now. Fairly obvious answer, I imagine.
Yeah, it's not good, you know. If you can beat Fern Square over the two legs, you put your hands up and say, yeah, that's it. But when you look back over the two legs, the three decisions have gone against us, and we should be at Wembley next week or the week after.
I guess the thing is, as well, when you look around that changing room, there are players in there that you're never going to play with again.
No, you know, you look at players like Schuller, who's coming to the end, Smudge. You know, there's lads who will be here next year. This is a chance to play a Bendley. And we're not going to get it now because of what's happened tonight and last week. But that's football for you. You know what you do. You just dust yourself down, you go again.
You've been there, you've gone up via the playoffs in the past. How cruel is it to go out at this stage? How long will it take you to kind of shake this off mentally?
I don't know. I haven't lost the playoffs before. No, I've been there once, I've won it. So it'll take a while, you know. But fucking vegan. You just have to get on with it. You know, I'm absolutely gutted for everyone, fall for the club. The fans have come out tonight, supported the lads. And the 3-1 down, they were still singing, chanting, getting behind us. But, you know, it's the officials have come and crossed it. There's not much more you can say.
You came on half time, shot out of a cannon, threw yourself into the game. How eager were you to come on?
I was so eager, you know. I've had 11 months out, you know, had 45 minutes to know how to get everything I've got, you know, not just earn myself a new contract or anyone watching, you know, want to stay here, but, you know, it's, I give it me on, I wasn't good enough in the end.
Yeah, you say you want to stay here then, contract up this summer, I imagine.
Yeah, it's up, so I had 45 minutes to give everything I've got. I would have liked another night at Wembley next week, but it's not to be, so, you know, it's just absolutely good.
Where do you see your future?
I don't know. I'm gonna speak to the gaffer next week. I'm gonna speak to all the lads under the contract, and we'll take it from there. But you know, I'm feeling fit. I'm feeling great. It's the best I've felt since I've done the injury. I don't know. Yeah,
would you like to be here?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I've loved everything. I know it's been a frustrating 10, 11 months for me. I love being on the pitch. You look around the stadiums. It's a League One club, Championship club. I'm not going to be there next year, so, you know, we'll League 2 next year. We'll get on with that.
Now, just turning to more news that's come out of Notts County today. They've confirmed their retained list and their released list as well. We're going to start by just rattling through the released players. Quite a long list of them. The agenda seems to have been to shed some of the elderly members of the squad, as well as a few surprises in there as well, I think is fair to say. So out of contract and released are Shola Amiobi, Adam Collin, Carl Dickinson, Mike Edwards, Jonathan Forte, Elliot Hodge, Nicky Hunt, Rob Milsom, Callum Saunders, Alan Smith and Curtis Thompson. And then on the loan expiry list, Mason Bennett and, of course, the fantastic Starman George Grant, who posted an emotional message on Twitter earlier thanking the fans for a fantastic season at Meadow Lane. He'll be sorely missed by Notts County supporters. Ben Hall and Matty Virtue there also on that expired list. Now, just going on to the ones that will be staying at Meadow Lane for the 2018-19 campaign in Sky Bet League 2. So they include Lewis Alessandro, Sean Brisley, Terry Hawkridge, Elliot Hewitt, Noah Hoosen, Liam Noble, John Stead and Matt Tootle. And those that have been offered a new contract include Pierce Baird, Richard Duffy, Ross Fitzsimmons, a surprise inclusion there, Dan Jones, Michael O'Connor and Branislav Pinroch. So I think we've got to start on the departure list, Daddy. Firstly, Jonathan Forte, 10 goals this season, arguably didn't have that much game time in the early half of the campaign, and a lot of people weren't surprised to see him leave, but I was quite surprised. I think he's done well in the latter half of the season, well enough I thought to warrant a new contract. What did you make of that one?
Yeah, I mean, if a striker's getting double figures for you, they must be doing something right, firstly. So he has got 10 goals, but as you say, he wasn't really favoured by Nolan at the start, first half of the season, really. So, I mean, maybe Kevin Nolan's just thinking, changing a plan. Maybe he thinks he can get a striker who'll get even more goals. You know, I mean, George Grant's obviously left, having been on loan. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of changes for County, that's for sure. I think also really important that they sealed Matt Tootle's contract, player of the season. So that was crucial, I think. You mentioned some elder members. I think the technical word is a senior statesman, I believe. Yeah, Shota Ameobi, Alan Smith, Nicky Hunt, all legends of the game. And it's sad to see them go. You know, Shota Ameobi came on in that semi-final for a little bit of Route 1 action. But yeah, you know, I think it was about time for those guys. And it's going to be interesting to see how Nolan gets reinforcements in over the summer. So definitely keep your eye on that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Shola Ameobi, Nicky Hunt and Alan Smith there definitely constituting that pensioners club which have made a departure from Meadow Lane. I mean, their time was sort of, you know, they're all around the 36, 38 year old age bracket. I mean, their days were numbered, shall we say, for quite some seasons down at Meadow Lane. But Shola Ameobi's done so well in the twilights of his career, you know, a former Premier League pro, done very, very well to keep things going in the lower division, operated to his strengths in terms of hold up play and a powerful shot, scored not as many as he would have liked to this season, but arguably have been the facilitator of goals for the likes of George Grant and John Stead.
Yeah, I just want to say another thing about the older heads in the team. Having been to a few press conferences and asked Kevin Nolan about the impact of the older players, you know, a lot of the impact they have is off the pitch now. If you think about Alan Smith, Shota Ameobi, Nicky Hunt, they're not really in the squad to make changes on the pitch and change games like that. But what they do have is that experience of whether it's playoffs, whether it's big cup matches, cup runs, or just dealing with different situations, whichever players might have. It's great to have players like that who you just someone to talk to, really. You know, someone to ask how to help you with any situation you're in. And in fact, Alan Smith and Shota Ameobi actually have their own dressing room at Meadow Lane. They've got their own kind of, you know, retirement home, whatever you want to call it, where they can kind of, you know, they do have a separate role at the club compared to the other players. So that will be a loss off the pitch. I think mainly that's where their impact will be felt.
Definitely. And in terms of some of the other departees, some of the younger players like Callum Saunders have left. Nicky Hunt, another one, a journeyman pro, probably calling it about right. You mentioned about the experience there of Ameobi, Hunt and Smith. Do you think any of them, you know, Shola's talked about in previous press conferences about maybe going on to a coaching role and things like that. Do you think we'd ever see any of them kind of return to Meadow Lane? I mean, that connection with Kevin Nolan is obviously quite significant because he's managed to rope in all of these senior pros to play football, you know, the likes of Smith and Shola that have cut it at the highest level and are now plying their trade in the lower divisions. Do you think any of them will kind of go on to get their coaching badges and maybe, you know, maybe return to Meadow Lane?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is a path that they'll want to go on. I mean, you mentioned Kevin Olin getting them in. I might be wrong, but is it right that he would have played with Ameobi and Alan Smith at Newcastle, Kevin Nolan?
He must have done for a time, yeah.
Yeah, and Bolton with Nicky Hunt as well. So, you know, he's obviously got these relationships with those players, and I think it's definitely a pathway for them, for Ameobi, for Alan Smith to, you know, I think they were almost doing coaching roles as well at County. I went along to one of their training sessions and they do have a bit of, you know, they're helping out with the drills as well. So while they're taking part, they do sort of serve almost a part-time coach service as well at the club while they were there. So I think that's kind of in part of preparation for them to eventually go into management and maybe come back to Meadow Lane.
And of course, the gaping hole now present in Notts County's starting lineup is that of George Grant, who's obviously going back to Forest after what's been a massive breakthrough season for him down at Meadow Lane. Almost 20 goals in the league. He's just been phenomenal all season, hasn't he, Danny?
Yeah, George Grant's been fantastic. I mean, he's a big part of the reason why County even got to the playoffs, to be honest. I mean, you need a good striker. It's a bit of a cliche to say, oh, you just, you know, you need a goal scorer, but there's a reason why it's cliche, because it's true, and he provided that, you know, getting 20 goals, as you say. So it'll be tough to replace him. You know, that's going to be a big mission for the management team this summer, is replacing him, getting in a goal scorer, so County can push on.
And in terms of the other ones on the retained and the list of those being offered new contracts down at NG2, you've got the likes of Pindrock there. I think the main surprise for me was absolutely Ross Fitzsimmons, because he's been out of the team completely after his blunder in the sort of midpoint of the season. What did you make of that one, the fact that he's stayed and Adam Collin has left?
Yeah, well, Adam Collin played over 30 times this season, and yeah, as you mentioned, the blunder where Fitzsimmons got sent off at the end. It is a surprise to see. I mean, Colin was getting on a bit, you know, with his age, but you do need a top quality goalkeeper. Some people are saying Fitzsimmons can slot into the team. I'm not so sure. I think they'll want to be looking out for another experienced head. You mentioned the retained players. Just a little shout to Noor Hussein, who I spoke to a couple of weeks ago, just about his career, his life. So he's born in Afghanistan, so he's come over from Afghanistan as a refugee when he was 5 years old. So I spoke to him a bit about that, but I also asked him about his time under Kevin Nolan at the club. So he joined in January, so he's been there for 6 months. He's played 13 games through the season, and he actually scored the goal of the season that was voted for by the county fans with his effort against Crewe. And he was a sole goal scorer against Swansea City in that dreadful 8-1 loss at the Liberty Stadium. But I was just talking to him about his ambitions for next season. He wants to break into that team. He's hungry. He wants first-team football. He wants to be playing more regularly. You know, he came from Crystal Palace looking for first-team football at a lower level, and he's only 21. So I hope that we'll see him next season playing more first-team football for the Magpies. I think he's got a shot on him for sure, and hopefully he'll be able to play more and kind of learn his trade.
Of those six players also being offered a new contract, Dan Jones, Michael O'Connor and Richard Duffy in that list, do you think Richard Duffy's now going to occupy that role of, you know, the experienced head in the dressing room, being that, you know, the older heads have kind of left, and Richard Duffy's been that focal point at the heart of the Notts County defence all season long, really? You know, whether it's been Baird or Brisley that's played alongside him, Duffy's really been that sort of stalwart in that team, hasn't he?
Yeah, Richard Duffy's been a big part of this side, there's no doubt about that. I think there are some concerns raised by some fans about how effective he'll be from this point onwards. You know, he is advancing in years, and you're right that his experience will definitely help the squad, but there are potential fears that he might not be the best option to have in the first team going forward. So I think I'm not sure, you know, how much involvement he'll have continuing, but some people are saying that his form had deteriorated slightly nearing the end of the season. So that's one to keep an eye on, I think.
It will be a big summer ahead then for Kevin Nolan and Alan Hardy down at Meadow Lane in terms of the transfer window. Certainly be needing to put their hands in their pockets with 15 players either out of contract or having their loan expired. Where do you think Notts really need to strengthen, Danny? I think up top is clearly a pressing concern due to the fact that goals are now kind of absent, really, with only John Stead occupying that, you know, first team slot, really, for a striker in that role, and George Grant not being there. What do you think Kevin Nolan needs to bring into the team to rectify that?
Yeah, I think you're definitely right about that. I think it was also tough losing Mason Bennett to injury, because he was a big prospect when he arrived, very young player, very quick, and I think getting someone in like him who can replace the goals that they've lost through George Grant would definitely help their cause. As I said earlier, you know, that it's so important to have a good striker at any level of football, but if you want to be pushing on for promotion, if you want to be pushing into the playoffs, You need to be getting goals somehow, basically. So that will be one of the first places they look. I think, you know, their midfield hasn't suffered too much as a result of these departures. They've managed to retain a few players like Hewitt, Hawkridge, Alessandra, Liam Noble, Noor Hussein. So I think with those guys being under contract as well, still. So I think their midfield is pretty solid and not too hardly affected. But I think up top for sure, they'll have to strengthen. And depending on the goalkeeping situation, with Adam Collin leaving, you know, whether they look at bringing another replacement or whether Ross Fitzsimmons fills in that slot is yet to be seen.
Yeah, certainly a big summer ahead then for all involved down at Meadow Lane.
You're listening to Over the Trent, bringing you discussion, interviews and updates on everything Notts County and Nottingham Forest.
This is your home of local football.
This is URN.
Now we're going to keep things rolling with Notts County this week due to the lack of news currently present at Nottingham Forest, although Eric Lehigh has been called up to the American squad for their latest international games. We'll have a big Nottingham Forest and Notts County season review coming up in the next couple of weeks here on Over the Trent. We'll also have a big special coming up on the Notts County women's team and their reinstatement. They're relaunching a senior women's side ahead of the 2018-19 season after the club folded due to financial difficulties last year. As I mentioned, loads coming up over the next week on this podcast. We spoke to nutritionist Matt Lawson today. We'll bring his take on it later in the show. So Danny, for the time being then, just give us a reminder of why Notts County ladies team originally folded last year.
Yeah, so it was April last year, and the ladies team were flying Women's Super League top division. They got to the FA Cup final in 2015 against Chelsea, which was the first one at Wembley. You know, they were in good times, and it was just 2 days before their match in the 2017 Spring Series against Arsenal when Alan Hardy had to liquidate the club. And he said it was because of the ongoing costs of upkeep were too much, and he'd also taken on some debt when he came to the club of £500,000. And so for the survival of the bigger club, he had to do something, had to cut costs, and unfortunately that was resulted in the liquidation of the side. Now the actual timing of the announcement was really heavily criticised by the players at County, because they had England internationals. They had Carly Telford, Laura Bassett, Jade Moore, Joe Potter. All of these players represented England at international tournaments. Don't need to be reminded about Laura Bassett's unfortunate own goal against Canada in the semi-final, but the World Cup. But, you know, these are high-profile players playing for Notts County, and it was a big decision to take, and Alan Hardy didn't take it lightly, but it was criticised. A lot of the players were saying they were wary of it coming, but the timing was just, you know, tragic, really.
And just on that, Danny, how are things going to be different this time around? Of course, 13 months down the line, more investment, arguably more thought and appreciation for what the women's team, you know, did for the club. What's going to happen now?
Well, firstly, I mean, they're going to be called Notts County Women rather than Notts County Ladies to distinguish them from the former side. Now, Alan Hardy, he always wanted to relaunch the women's team in a different way. So this year he's been creating academy teams for under 8 girls, under 14 girls. So there's been that foundation. And so for him, the next logical step was get the senior team involved, this time at a much reduced cost. So you mentioned about learning from previous, you know, management of the side. It will cost about £25,000, which is much less than, you know, the £500,000 that they would have had to stump up to keep it running. And I think part of these costs were, you know, they're playing their home matches at Meadow Lane. Now, it has to be said that the tickets they would have been selling wouldn't have been that much, being able to sell out Meadow Lane. So I think they're going to go to Ilkeston FC, New Manor Ground, which is about 10 miles away, because Alan Hardy also owns them. So I'm sure that some arrangement will be come to, so maintenance costs can be reduced, and the women can still play in front of a crowd and, you know, still kind of maintain a team, I think.
And how are the team hoping to do on the pitch over the next couple of years?
Well, it is going to be very different to what the former side was that got liquidated 13 months ago, because they were in the Women's Super League Premier Division, whereas in this situation, Notts County Women are going to be entering the pyramid in a regional league. You know, they can't just go straight back to the Premier League. They're a new team. They're coming in at regional level. They're looking for amateur players to actually form a squad. It's early stages at the moment. So they've got five confirmed players, and they've got a coach lined up potentially. But they're hosting open trials for basically anyone to have a go and, you know, join the club. So that's Sunday, the 27th of May at Meadow Lane. And, you know, people can just contact the club. You can have a look on Twitter at the email address to get in contact with if you want to go to the trial and try out for this women's team. So it's definitely going to have a very different feel to it, you know, very grassroots feel. But Hardy has set an aim. They want to reach the second division within 5 years, which will kind of be, you know, we have to get promotion after promotion, basically. And, you know, maybe with the funding behind them, that might be possible. That is very ambitious. But as we know, Alan Hardy is a very ambitious man. So, you know, who knows what could happen.
Now, just to rewind the clock 13 months, we spoke to Julia Roberts, who's a lifetime Notts County Ladies supporter. She spoke just over a year ago at her disgust that the team had folded.
It's just shocking. It's I mean, we're Notts County Ladies are probably the second best supported club after Manchester City, and for Alan Hardy to let that go, just stood there thinking about it. It's absolutely disgusting. It really is, and to do it 2 days before the season starts, it makes a bigger joke out of it. I don't know how people can get away with it.
Did you see it coming at all?
No. I mean, he's been rattling on about he's going to be paying these bills off, and they've signed a couple of players in the interim, but they've not really put it out there. So at the back of my mind, I did think, I actually thought that they wouldn't apply for a WSL licence for the 17-18 season, but I didn't think for a minute that they'd put the club into liquidisation. It's just, they've even taken money off people for season tickets. So I can't see how they can do it.
Yeah, because they tweeted yesterday that all the season tickets have been posted. And
yeah, exactly. Everybody's just shocked, and it just feels like somebody's died. It really does. It's that shocking.
Yeah. Do you think more could have been done by either the club or even the FA to try and...
Yeah, exactly. I think the FA have got to start funding clubs that haven't got the same sort of money as Manchester City and Chelsea. I mean, you can see the divide coming now. You've got Manchester City that's just way out in front, closely followed by Chelsea. But for a club as big as Notts County to let their ladies' side go, it's not right, and it's not good for women's football.
Yeah, I was going to ask next, do you think this is a statement by the club chairman about his views on women's football and women's
yes.
football in general?
Yeah, I don't think he cares two hoots about it, to be honest. And I thought that when he took it over, and me personally, and this is my opinion, I don't think he's ever wanted the ladies' side. He's Notts County men through and through, without a doubt, and he's got so much passion for them. I don't think he could give two hoots about the women's side or women's football in general.
Yeah, and just a final thing. We had obviously such a successful Women's World Cup in 2015, the England side doing exceptionally well. It was such a huge step yep. forward for women's football. Do you think this is a step in the other direction? This is
absolutely.
Actually where women's football is going?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said before, the big divide is there to see. It's plainly there to see. And until the FA realise that and start putting that, they've got the money, they need to start funding these lower clubs. And even Notts County, I don't class us as a lower club. They've got so much potential, a fan base, but when the owner doesn't want them there, what can you do?
Hi, I'm Darren Fletcher, and you're listening to URN Sport.
Now, we also had words with Matt Lawson, who was the nutritionist for the Notts County Ladies team for 3 years down at Meadow Lane. Here was his reaction to the fact that the team are going to be reinstated.
I think it's positive news that Notts County are entering an adult women's team again. You know, ultimately it comes down to, do you want an adult women's team at Notts County or not? And I'd certainly rather see one there than not at all. when the club folded last year, it was very difficult for everybody involved. I'd personally had 3 years working with a women's team before leaving the club shortly before the ladies, you know, sort of folded, if you like. And it was very difficult, but ultimately, it's not our money, and you have to respect the person whose money it is that's putting the money up, because, you know, ultimately they decide what to spend the money on, and if it's not financially viable, then unfortunately, you know, you have to accept that. We had some top players, top England internationals, you know, and most of them are still playing at the very top of the game, and that's the main thing. I think reaching the second WSL division in 5 years is very ambitious, but, you know, you've got to be glass half full. I certainly am, you know, when I work with players and coach players, and it's nice to see a bit of ambition. Obviously, doing it in 5 years would mean an AFC Wimbledon type rise that we've seen in the men's game, where you'd literally be winning promotion year on year. But, you know, it's football, so anything's possible. In terms of the previous players, you know, many of them are still doing really well with England. You know, I'm still in touch with a lot of them through St George's Park and coaching regional talent centres. Nottingham Forest have got a talent centre. Binghamtown Women in Nottinghamshire have been awarded a talent centre. So there's lots of good things happening in women's football. And I think what would be great is to link up the likes of Notts County ladies, Nottingham Forest ladies, perhaps with one of those England players that Notts had before, you know, get into the FA Cup final with that real live experience of women's football and getting them to sort of ultimately lead the team, because I think we need more female coaches, so I'd quite like to see that, really.
More from Matt and hopefully from Julia over the next couple of weeks on our special, which is going to be focusing deeply on the Notts County women's team and their reinstatement in women's football in this country. That's it for us though this week on Over the Trent. Do make sure to check out at Over the Trent Pod on Twitter for all the latest news, gossip and rumours surrounding the transfer window for both Notts County and Nottingham Forest. Make sure to tune in to our future episodes as well. As I said, we'll be bringing you the special along with massive reviews of Notts County and Nottingham Forest seasons respectively, and a look ahead to what's going to be a busy transfer window for both clubs. Thank you, Danny and Jeremy, for joining me on this episode, and we hope you guys all listen again very soon.